In this Matthew chapter 16, I felt like the Lord wanted me to go ahead and preach on this. And the reason why is because, you know, this church has been open now for a year. And I praise the Lord for that. I really do. And you say to yourself, well, what was your church founded on? You know, well, this right here. And this is what I want to talk about today. Amen. You know, Jesus asked his disciples here, he says, whom do men say that I am? And they gave all kinds of different answers, you know. They talked about, as it says here, well, some say that John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, and one of the other prophets or whatever, you know. And we had that same thing today. We have people that, you know, you talk to them about Jesus and they say, well, oh, yeah, he was a great teacher. You know, he was a good philosopher. You know, his philosophy for life, you know, to love one another and all that. That's so good, you know. That's good philosophy, you know, all that. Well, you know, those things are right, but that's not what Jesus is all about. Amen? And see, the problem is the world doesn't really understand. Let me just show you what I'm talking about. In John chapter 9, there's a miracle that took place where Jesus healed a man that was blind. And he was called into, the man was called on the carpet by the scribes and Pharisees. And they asked him this question. He said, well, therefore said they unto him, how were thy eyes opened? And he answered and said, this is verse 11. A man that is called Jesus. You see how he, that's all he knew. It was a man that was called Jesus, you know. He made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. Well, later on, they turned around and asked him again the question. And they say unto the blind man again, verse 17, what sayest thou of him? That hath opened thine eyes. Look what he says. He said, he's a prophet. That's all he could say about him. You see, he's a prophet, you know. We look on down to verse 33. And again, they turned around and questioned him and asked him about this. And, you know, it's really funny because of the way that this guy deals with these scribes and Pharisees. Then again, they called the man in verse 24 that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. He says, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore will you hear again? Will you be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Now look at what the guy says. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? And then in verse 33 he says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So now he's calling Jesus a man of God, you see. Now the last thing real quick is in verse 38, because Jesus finds him and says to him, Jesus heard that he was cast out. And when they had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. You see, what I'm trying to say here is this. This fellow started off just like the world. a man that's called Jesus. That's all they know about Jesus. And folks, they need somebody that's going to tell them the truth, amen, and get it across to them. Well, you know, then Jesus turned around and asked his disciples about this. And he said here, he says, he saith unto them in verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? And by the way, that's the name of the message this morning. Whom say ye that I am? You see, the thing about it is, we need to be the ones that have been born again. If we're born again, then we've testified that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ came and died on a cross for our sins, that Jesus Christ was buried and rose again from the dead, that Jesus Christ is in heaven right now, having intercession for us and so on and so forth, and that he'll come back again and receive us to himself when the rapture takes place and all that. Well, we know all these things. Why? Because we're born again. We're children of God now, and we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. Notice what Peter says here. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, folks, that's what this church is built on. Amen? It's built on that. And I want to take a few minutes here and just go ahead and show you four things, if I could, about this statement that Peter makes. He says to Jesus, Simon Peter answers Jesus. He says, he's asking all the disciples there. He says, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, you know, he jumps up and says what's on his mind. And thank God it was the right thing. Amen. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The first thing I want you to see is what Jesus saith back to him. He says, blessed art thou. Now, listen, we need to understand something. We are the blessed of this world. Did you hear what I said? I said, we're the blessed of this world. Now, why are we the blessed? Because of the fact that we're saved. Amen. Our eyes have been opened. Our hearts have been opened to the things of God. Notice what it says. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Yeah, we go out and we witness to people and all that, but they look at us like a calf looks at a new gate. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that? You know what I mean? And that's exactly the way people do. But when God opens their hearts, and when God opens their spiritual eyes to the Word of God, then all of a sudden now they see Jesus in a completely different way. He's not just a man. He's the Son of God. Amen. That's come to this world for a reason. Well, this truth is revealed unto us. You're blessed because the truth has been revealed to you. You know, we ought to be the happiest people in the world because of the fact that we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. You know, there's so much that has to do with that. And it's not by man, but it was by God, by the Holy Spirit of God, that our eyes, our spiritual eyes, were opened to our need of a Savior. And that Savior was there, you see. It's not just that we see our need, but also that we see how that need could be met. You know what I mean? It can be met by putting our complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, if you fall off a pier or something like that, and there's a rope hanging down someplace, you start looking around, you're splashing around in the water and everything, or if there's a ladder over on the side, then you're going to, you know, all of a sudden, your eyes have been opened to that, and you know that your salvation is to climb out of that. Either that or you're going to drown, amen, or you're going to have to pull yourself up that rope or whatever, and in order to get up there. Folks, let me tell you something. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is our salvation. He's our way. We're on our way to hell. The Bible says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We were already in hell. God has just pulled us back out of there. Amen. All we had to do was die. Think about that just a second. A heartbeat away from hell. A breath away from hell. That's where we were. But God opened our eyes and says, blessed art thou. Blessed art thou. Salvation is settled for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful when you stop and think about it? You don't have to worry about, you know, there's times when we do things that are wrong. And we don't have to run around and try to get saved all over again. Amen? Because we're saved and kept by Almighty God. We're never going to go to a place called hell. Why? Because of the fact that God is keeping us. Yeah, we're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that are wrong. But God's keeping us. We're saved for all eternity. When He saved us, He cleansed us. And He'll keep us cleansed. And the Bible says He'll present to Himself. You see that in John chapter 14, John chapter 15. Is it 15? Yeah, it's 15. Where He says that He'll present His... No. Wait a minute, hold on a minute. That's Ephesians chapter 5. You know, you ought to write things down. Amen. Brother Huff, you're starting something here. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says this, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse. That sanctified means to set aside. We're set aside for God. See, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, I can't really picture myself being that way. Amen. Because I know Tom Campbell, and I know my thoughts. I know some things that I do and stuff like that, you know. And I'm not going to tell them to you. You're not my priest, amen. Now, if you want to, we'll pass the microphone around, and you all can confess your sins, and we'll get this whole thing all straightened out. No, but the Bible tells us here that we'll be holy and without blemish before God. We're saved for all eternity. Blessed art thou, amen. Saved, all your sins washed away and all that. We will be part of the first resurrection. The Bible talks about there in Revelation chapter 19, I think. Blessed is he that is part of the first resurrection, where the second resurrection has no, you know, the second death has no part with him. And we see that. We don't have to worry about that, going to the lake of fire and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because of the fact that we're in that first resurrection. We're looking forward to the rapture. We're not looking forward to the great white throne judgment and all that. Amen. And we don't have to worry about that. We are no longer bound by sin. You know, sin used to have a hold on me, and that's all there was to it. And I shared that with you time and time again. But the truth is, and each and every one of us, we were bound to sin. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just had a hold of us, and that's all there was to it. We were going to do it. And we didn't want to. We wanted to turn away from it, but we weren't capable of doing that. But we are now, amen, because we're children of God. We've been born again into the family of God. This is a wonderful thing to know that. By the way, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within you. He tabernacles in you. And that is so good to know, amen. Although if you're out doing things you ought not to be doing, then it's not so good to know. Because you're taking the Holy Spirit right along with you. He's hearing every conversation you're hearing. He's hearing everything that you're involved in, he's involved in, and all that. So folks, let me tell you something. If you're truly born again, then let's keep in mind that the Holy Spirit of God is in us and dwells within us. Amen? He dwells within us. He guides us. He teaches us. He does all these things for us. Blessed art thou. That's what he says here to not only to Simon, but he's saying that to all of us. Amen. If we're born again, he says, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, God has revealed it to you. A lot of times you say to yourself, well, you know, I wonder if there is a God. Well, wait a minute, hold it. Are you saved? Are you really born again? You say, oh, yeah, I saw that my need. I saw that I was a sinner. I saw I was lost and on my way to hell. And I saw that Jesus was the only way and all this kind of stuff. Well, if you saw all that, it was revealed to you by God. Amen. Now you know there's a God because that's the only way you got it. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father, which art in heaven. Second thing I want you to see is not only that we're a blessed people, but Jesus is the rock that the church is built on. Amen. I was kind of hoping you sing that song this morning, you know. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And on and on. I'm out of breath. And anyway. But on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Boy, I tell you right now, he's our rock. Here he says this. He says, that is a little bit of play on words, but he says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying this. First off, he changed Simon's name from Simon to Peter. Now, Peter means a pebble. That's what it really means. It means a stone. And it's talking about Petros. And what we have for Jesus, or for Peter, is... Petros is for Jesus. And that means a rock. And it's talking about a big foundational rock. A huge rock, you see. And that's what our Savior is. Amen. He's the foundation of the whole and a church and everything else. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me just read this to you real quick. In verse 9, it says this. The Apostle Paul says this about the church. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Okay? All right. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And then verse 11 says this, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now it goes on to say, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, and so on and so forth, and all the rest. Now what is it talking about here? It's talking about Christ is the rock. Christ is the rock, you see. What Jesus said, what Peter said, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what this church is built on. Amen. And that's the foundation that we have to have. And God has told us that. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it talks about living stones, that we're stones. We form the temple of Almighty God. Verse 5 here, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, ye also are living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You see, we're stones. We in the building of God, all of us come together. Solid Rock Baptist Church is not Tom Campbell. Solid Rock Baptist Church is not any one of us individually. It's all us stones that have come together. We made a temple here for Almighty God. Amen? Jesus said this, when two or three gather together, I'm in the midst of you. Amen? So when just a couple of us are here, yeah, I know, it isn't a huge congregation. We don't have 500 people here and all that kind of stuff, but that's okay. All right? I don't know whether it's being recorded or not, but I'll say if we, just because of the fact that we got 250 people here. No, but no, I'm just kidding you. This might go on the internet, so, you know, you going to do that for me, brother? No, I'm just kidding you. But the point I'm trying to say is this. We're spiritual rocks. Amen? We're stones. The actual rock is Jesus Christ. That's what all the stones. You got to build a good foundation. Amen. I know that we went down and looked at that place yesterday. I don't think the foundation's going out. I think what the problem is that floor is tongue and groove, and it's been wet and damp in there, and because of that, it's buckling. And that's giving you the feeling that the rafters or something. I don't know. We'll have to, you know, if we're interested in it, we'll have to get under there and check it out and all that kind of stuff. But the point I'm trying to say is simply this. We are the stones that build up the temple of Almighty God. And this is what he's saying here to Peter. Peter's not the rock that he's building his church on. Good night. If you read on just a little bit further, you'll find out that Peter denies Christ. Amen? And when Jesus turned around and says that he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to be beaten and crucified and buried and then raised again from the dead, Peter said, "Oh, not so, Lord." Remember that? And then Jesus had to turn around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Amen? So, no, you can't build on that. You know, that's a fallible man. All of us are that way. We all make mistakes and things like that. We all falter and that kind of stuff. Christ never falters. Amen? He's that solid rock that our faith is built on and all the rest. I want you to see something else, too. The Bible talks about the church here. Notice what Jesus says. Upon this rock I will build my church. And by the way, it's Christ building the church. If you're here this morning, and if you're a member of this church, then God has brought you here, and he wants you to do to serve him in this local New Testament church. You know, in Christianity, we got too much jumping around. Amen? We need to get in. We need to pray and say to the Holy Spirit of God, and I understand, if the church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, then you need to move on and all that kind of stuff. But wait a minute. Let's pray first and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us to the church he wants us to serve him in, and then get in that church and serve in that church and do the things that God wants you to do. Amen? It's a very simple thing. And the Bible tells us here that upon this rock I will build my church. And he says this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what that's telling me? That tells me that there's an umbrella of protection in the local New Testament church. I thank God that I'm a member of this church here. Amen? You know, Peter, when he was imprisoned and everything else, it was the church that was praying for him. Amen? And when the church prayed for him, the ground shook. And not only that, but God went ahead and delivered him out of that prison and everything else. So he was going to get probably beheaded the next day or something like that when what's-his-name was going to call for him. Herod was going to call for him and all that. But it didn't happen. Why? Because God delivered him. The church was praying for him. And all through the book of Acts, you can see where the church prayed and what happened. The place shook and all that because the power of God was there. Amen? And we can see tremendous things take place. Why? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And we ought to take that opportunity. We ought to charge hell with that thought in mind. It can't keep us, and it can't keep those that haven't died yet. But once they died and they're in hell for all eternity, there's no getting them back out. Amen. But the ones that like that fella yesterday, according to the Bible, he was lost and on his way to hell. Amen. And all he had to do is die. But no, he trusted Christ as his Savior. Hell didn't prevail against him. He went ahead and as we tried to take the gospel of Christ to him and all that. I believe God's protection and blessings are on those that are faithful to the local New Testament church. I really believe that. Now, I don't believe in that Baptist bride stuff and all that kind of thing. Don't get me wrong with this at all. Don't misunderstand that. But I believe that you serving God and doing what God wants you to do and being faithful to the things that God... Because God wants you in a local New Testament church. Why? Because he wants to teach you some things. He wants to grow you. He wants to use you so that you can grow other people. You know, everybody has an influence, whether you realize it or not. You have an influence. Your children are watching you. I don't care whether they're grown or not. You know, my boys are 50 years old, and they're the babies. Amen. But you know, they're watching. They're watching. They're seeing what's going on. And I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I don't want to lay down the cross anywhere. I want to keep right on serving God and doing the things that God wants me to do. Why? Because there's too many people that are watching. And we need to do that. God's protection, and God blesses those that are faithful to the local New Testament church. I'm going to give you one more thing, and then we're going to eat. Amen? All right. This last verse here, verse 19. Look at the first part of it there. It says, "And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven." You know, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but if you've been born again, then your testimony, how you got born again, if you're truly born again, then your testimony of how you got born again is enough right there for another person to get saved. You know what I'm saying? If you shared with them exactly what your testimony was, that you were in such and such religion, or you weren't in any religion, you weren't going to church anywhere at all, some men came by your house, knocked on the door, they took a Bible, they showed you from the Word of God, what did they show you? That you're a sinner, that you're lost and on your way to hell, and that all you had to do is die and you'd go to hell for all eternity. But they showed you also that God loved you so much. Amen? You know the gospel. You know what I'm talking about. Well, if you gave that testimony to somebody, you know this stuff of, you know, giving a testimony and say, "Well, yeah, I went to church and I went forward and got saved." Well, that don't help anybody at all. Amen? Now people think that they got to come to church, come forward and get saved. You know what I mean? How do they do that? They don't know how, you know, what that's all about. But folks, let me tell you something. A person can get saved standing right in a parking lot over there in some area that we were in, like we were yesterday. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we ought to do. We ought to share that gospel with people. We have the keys to the kingdom. And what are those keys? It's the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, what in the world is that?" Well, let me go ahead and share it with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let me read this to you. Verse 1 says this, "Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached, what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Folks, that is the gospel. That is very simple. It's not anything about the Baptist. It's not anything about any other denomination or anything like that. No, it's the simple gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, that he died, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And folks, let me tell you something. That's what we need to be sharing with these other people. Peter had given, he had the privilege of opening the door of faith to the Jews there at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He got up there and preached, and what happened? 3,000 souls got saved. Well, and probably more than that, because the Bible talks about men. 3,000 men got saved. I think there was more souls. I think the women and children probably got saved also. So I don't know how many there were, but at any rate, we know that. And the second thing was in Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, it talks about the Samaritans. He went to the Samaria, and he went ahead and opened the door there to the Samaritans, and so on and so forth. But you know what's really something is in Acts chapter 10, where he goes to Cornelius' house, a Gentile, and there God instructed him to go ahead and take the gospel to him, And he did, and God blessed, and the Holy Spirit of God came down upon them and all that, and they repented and trusted Christ as their Savior and followed through with baptism. The Gentiles. Why? He opened the doors. How did he open the doors of faith? With the key. The key is the gospel of Christ. Amen. Everywhere you'll find it. That's what he talked about. He talked about Jesus coming and dying, and was buried, and he rose again the third day. Gave the simple gospel. Folks, let me tell you something. This church is built on that gospel. That's what it's built on. We can't move away from that. We need to be a soul-winning church. That means every member of this church ought to be passing out tracts. Every member of this church ought to be sharing the gospel of Christ with people. Every member ought to be praying. You ought to have a prayer list of lost people. Maybe people in your family, people at work, people in your neighborhood. Folks you know that nobody else in this church might know. But it's our responsibility to try and reach them for Christ. Amen? And to do what we can possibly do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for all that you do for us. You're so good to us. You've taken such good care of us, given us a nice building, gave us heat, gave us carpet, gave us everything. And it's just amazing. Piano, the whole thing, you know, and ladies to play it, songs and song leader, all that. Lord, I praise you for that. Thank you for that choir this morning. It was so good. But Lord, I tell you, you've been so good to us, and we just don't want to be churchy right here all the time. We need to get out into the community and take the gospel of Christ out to a lost and dying world. Lord, put the burden in our hearts. Help us to see that the time's short to serve you. Oh, we could spend all eternity feasting at the table and all the rest with you. But Lord, right now, we need to work in your fields. Help us now to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.